Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's Miller and Condon here on a Thursday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller here with you for the next couple of hours. I miss 1460. I got to be honest.
Well, you're an old man.
I am an old man.
Afraid of change, as I'm getting to be.
Indeed. But it's a whole new era. 106.3 KXNO. Welcome to the program for the next couple of hours as we talk sports with you. Here's the BMW of Des Moines guest list. 15 minutes or thereabout. Ben Gislason from the Iowa Wild. They're back home. I want to help promote the locals. I know the Wolves are back home as well, and they're getting some airtime. Wild are going to join us here. I believe Coach Army was on with the morning crew this morning, the morning rush. And we'll get Ben Gislason on here in about 15 minutes or thereabouts. Stephen M. Sipple, it's Ohio State and Nebraska this weekend. Huskers have to win out to get to postseason. What am I missing on that point spread? Circa's got it. Circa Sports, who will be in town starting tonight at Wellman's. They'll take over Wellman's tonight, tomorrow our show. Murph and Andy are there. Fanatics are there tonight. And then Sound Off will be there. Not the call-in show.
Pre-game.
Pre-game, right. John Miller's going to be there.
I'll be there Saturday morning.
I didn't know that. Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Ted Flint.
Ted's going to stop by, put a headset on with me tonight. Going to be doing a live podcast. So I plan on starting around 7 o'clock. It's a podcast. If I start at 7:07, that's okay.
Right.
There's no... Right. There's no legal ID in podcasting, but going to throw on the headsets, checked out the equipment last night. Everything was working beautifully.
Good.
And stop out tonight. Have some drinks. Have some food. Circa's going to be there. You get to meet a lot of the personalities that we've talked about, we've heard about here throughout this weekend. And I'm just going to be talking gambling and some Hawks and some Cyclones and whatever else comes into the conversation. You want to talk gambling with me? We'll throw on a headset. We'll have some fun tonight. 7 o'clock, Wellman's Rooftop in West Des Moines.
Todd Kirk from Action Fanatics, I believe he's going to be there. So they're pulling out all the stops and Circa Sports in Iowa. If you haven't signed up, perfect opportunity to do so. But I would make the trip out there. I think it'll be worth your while. Then they're going to make their way to Jefferson for tomorrow night, the Wild Rose in Jefferson, and then again on Saturday. So Stephen M. Sipple will be here. But what I started to say is, why is the point spread only 14.5?
You want it to be higher.
I think it should be higher. I mean, I get Nebraska's defense is okay. You know Adrian Martinez is going to turn the ball over two or three times. He does every day.
If he doesn't.
Well, maybe that's it, right?
Nebraska plays close games.
They have. Look at they play Michigan State tough, play Michigan stuff, tough.
Two games they really easily could have won if they
There's
weren't Nebraska.
A bunch on the schedule right, yeah. that they could have won.
That is your answer, though. That's why it's, quote-unquote, only 14.5.
Just thought it would be higher when I looked at it because Ohio State now, they've got some work to do. Well, the Big Ten East is going to sort itself out.
Yes.
I think that's pretty apparent. They still have to play each other. For crying out loud, that's going to be fun these last 4 weeks of the football season. Big Ten East is going to be a big talking point. So Sipple will join us at 10:30, and then Lee Sterling is going to be here from Paramount Sports. 11:05, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. We'll go around college football with Mr. Rittenberg, always a good guest, and he will join us. If you listen to our program, you're used to us in one of the final things that we do before the week comes to an end is give away an opportunity for four of you to win barbecue from Claxons. Well, we're at Wellman's tomorrow, so we won't do that tomorrow. We will do it today. About 11:30 or thereabouts, we'll give four of you an opportunity to win barbecue from Claxons. Speaking of giveaways, on the Miller and Condon radio program, we are giving away two tickets courtesy of our friend Dr. Stephen Fuller, East 29th Street in Des Moines and 8th Street in Altoona FullerDental.net is the website, as we've been doing all season long, giving you a chance to win Hawkeye football tickets. And the next set available will be Minnesota a week from Saturday. And if you go to the Miller and Condon Twitter page, you can see the rules that are the same. Total yards, both teams, closest without going over. You must use the hashtag FullerDental. And if you want a number and you stake 305, but you're not the first person to take 305, you're not going to win if that's the number. Yeah. Whoever claims the number first gets that number. So just go to the bottom of the scroll and work your way up, and maybe 304 is available, or 306 or whatever. So go to
you don't see a lot of yards in this game.
I don't think so either, right?
Throwing out that example, what, about 152 apiece?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be. We'll see. We'll see. What's that number? 11.5, 12, I think?
Yeah, it's up to 12.
Well, it's 11.5 for the Claxons because we put a hook on it.
Yes.
So I took it down instead of going up. So that's the program today. That's the BMW of Des Moines guest list on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff going on. I'm so excited about that Minnesota game. You know, that's my favorite rivalry game.
Is
the Iowa-Minnesota game.
Not just, Wisconsin. Just because,
not Wisconsin because they've kicked the Hawks' ass too much. Okay. I think that's probably the reason behind it. No. It's because of my connection. Grew up right next to the Minnesota border. Mm-hmm. Got family up there.
And a phenomenal trophy.
The best trophy in college football.
It's really, really good.
For me. And I got family there. I also have family coming to Iowa City for the first time ever. So my two older cousins.
So are you going to the game next week? Good.
Yeah. One's a year older. The other's 3 years older. They grew up in Osage and then moved to Minneapolis when they were 6 and 8. I was in kindergarten. And they were like my best buddies. And they moved up there. Went up there all the time to see them, but they still remained Iowa fans. Well, now their kids are in college. That's how old I'm getting.
Uh-huh.
And one of them goes to Minnesota. The other two, I actually go to school here in the state of Iowa. One goes to Iowa Lakes. The other one goes to Indian Hills. But they're all going to their first ever Hawkeye game. Grew up Hawkeye fans, but they're all going for the first time. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's sold out, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
It's going to be a really, you would think, a fun environment. The Minnesota game, it doesn't matter. I mean, you go back to the Snow Angel, and there's just been so many of those moments throughout the year. But I'm really excited about it. But for Iowa, they got to get back on track.
Yeah.
It's got to start this weekend.
Run the football.
Get the offensive line right. Get Petras involved. And
I just wonder, Trent, if this will kind of be, when we reconvene here on Monday, will it kind of feel like fool's gold? Because Northwestern's awful.
They're really bad.
They are really bad, particularly against the run. So if Goodson goes off and has a good day, will they, they're back.
Some
Why
people
haven't
will
they
there.
Been doing this the entire, see? All it takes is a tweak here and a tweak there. It's like putting a lipstick on a pig. This is a bad defense that Northwestern is going to put out there on the field.
That's the other piece. You know, you look at offensively, and they've gone through a bunch of different quarterbacks and trying to figure things out. The Marty kid's kind of the runner. Halinski's not good. We saw that at South Carolina. He's just
A couple of games I watched him, and I thought he was really good. But he hasn't been. I agree with you.
He's completing 53% of his passes.
That's not enough.
Yeah. College football today, that doesn't get it done.
By the way, speaking of completing passes, how about that game last night?
Yes.
How about Rocky Lombardi?
Doesn't he look like a completely different guy?
He really does. You know what crossed my mind watching that game? I'm starting to wonder if he's going to get a sniff.
Oh, he's got the size.
He's got the arm.
He's got the athletic ability.
Uh-huh. I'm not saying he's a first-rounder, second-day pick.
He's probably not even a draft pick.
But I wonder if he's going to get a chance.
Get a camp invite somewhere and get an opportunity.
I was impressed by Lombardi last night. What did he throw for, 5 Bills?
Yeah, he had 350 at halftime.
Yeah.
He was excellent. We got the cover, though. That was the most important thing.
It's a little dicey. You score, we score. Uh-huh. You score, we score.
Thankful for those 2-point conversion attempts that NIU started.
What were they thinking?
What was the first
They started chasing points.
Down 11,
Yeah, in the first half.
Yeah. I was happy for that because it was 3.5 and they won by 5.
I watched it between that it was a weird night of sports.
It was.
Maction and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
We were on the same page.
Although I couldn't stick with the T-Wolves. It was a bad night. But you know what? The Clippers are okay.
The Clippers couldn't miss.
They couldn't.
Going into the fourth quarter, they were shooting 68% from the field and 66% for three and hadn't missed a free throw.
It was unbelievable. They couldn't miss. And Minnesota turned the ball over time after time after time. Anyways, enough about the NBA. We'll get back to it in
April. Yeah. Right after the Masters.
Right after the Masters. Indeed. So,
do you think that Petras has a short hook this week?
You know what I want to see from him? He can't run to save his life, right? Throw the ball. Take chances. throw the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, don't be check down Charlie constantly. I get that's the Iowa way. That's the safe way. That's not working lately.
It isn't.
Chuck the ball down the field.
7 points in back-to-back games.
There you go.
You got to do something different.
Yes.
Because, and it was great when you're 6-0 and the defense is forcing turnovers and you're making plays. And yes, you can play incredibly conservative. That's not the case anymore. The defense is not forcing those turnovers. Mm-hmm. You have to score. You can't anticipate you're going to get, for all intents and purposes, 17, 20 points a game because of the defense. You need to get something out of the offense here. This is the team to do it. As he said, this is a bad Northwestern team.
This is a get-well opportunity.
But it's Fitz. And yeah. That still lingers in the back.
He's giving you Fitz.
Yes. That just lingers in the back of the mind. I have seen awful Northwestern teams be pretty good Iowa teams.
Yeah.
This Iowa team right now is not good. Mm-hmm. Could it be another one of those where things just don't work and they are dinking and dunking down the field, taking what the defense gives them, and then offensively Iowa comes up with another dumb game plan against Northwestern?
Trent, if that's the case, the wheels are coming off.
Yeah.
I mean, from where they were, number two, and I you know what? It doesn't even cross my mind that Northwestern could win this football game.
Really?
Yeah, it really hasn't. I think Iowa's got a better roster.
They've had a better roster for the last 15 years.
Yeah, I know.
What's the record?
I get it. It just hasn't crossed my mind.
Well, let it cross your mind, because it very well could happen.
Yeah.
I was not good enough
to show
up.
I'll be really surprised. I'll be really surprised if that's the case.
They were
but to your question,
to Colorado State, who's not good.
No. No, there was talk early in the season that Colorado State might not win a football game.
Right.
That's from people who cover the team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those people, by the way, you know who's doing a really, and I'm happy for him. Sean Keeler is writing for the Denver Post, and he covered the Rams, or, you know, I guess maybe drew the short straw. But he's kind of taken on the role of a columnist. He's edgy.
Yeah.
And that's good.
He's always been edgy.
Always.
I remember that from his
Absolutely.
Days here.
Absolutely. I'm glad he landed on his feet. I really am.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in big market, got a lot of things he can cover out there, and he's a good writer. But anyways, yeah, he was one of the people that, you know, early in the season before trying to do some advance on Colorado State, him talking about this team might not win a game. They don't look like they can win a game. Anyways, enough about the Rams.
Yes.
Let's get to the here and now, Kenneth. Buster Posey's retiring, and, of course, Twitter's reacting to it because someone had the audacity to call Buster Posey the greatest catcher of his generation. Imagine that. He's really good.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know who's the greatest of his generation. I get Yadier Molina.
Mm-hmm.
I get Salvador Perez has worked his way into that conversation.
That
Buster Posey's got the ring. Sal's got one. Yadi's got one. So they've all won a championship. I guess it's part of what we do, right? We have to rank them.
Right.
We have to declare who the best of that generation is. Look, if you're a Cardinal fan, if you're a Giants fan, if you're a Royals fan, you've had a lot of fan opportunities to watch those guys. They've all got great numbers. All of them. Yadier Molina has clearly the longevity factor, the fact that, I mean, how many games has he caught? I looked before the show. Over 4,000, I think.
Is that what it is?
It's something crazy. At bats, 7,555 at bats. It was about 3,000 more than Posey or, yeah, let me get it exactly in front of me here. 7,550 for Yadi. Well, just shy of 5,000 for Buster and Salvador Perez has 4,300 at bats. Perez has more home runs. They all have gold gloves. They're all really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you, I guess, who, if you had to declare one, Molina because of the longevity?
I'd probably lean Posey's way without diving deeper into it. Yadier early in his career was a defensive guy.
Yeah.
And he turned himself into a good offensive player. But there was a stretch where Posey was an elite level offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Yadi never got to that point.
No, Posey will retire with a batting average north of 300.
Yeah, OPS at 831.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have the power numbers. I thought those numbers would actually be a little higher until I looked it up.
He drove. He hit 158 home runs.
I thought that'd be 258. I was surprised that the number was that low. But you kind of go in that stretch and just how good he was, you know, in the early 2010s at the level that he played at a consistent level where he was the best catcher in the game for 3, 4, 5 years, probably in that stretch. Well, he was right up there.
We saw him all the time in postseason.
And that helped, too.
Absolutely helped.
When you're there every single time, or you every have three other championships. Year. That's what it was with
that's
the Giants.
That's what it was, yeah.
Had to be, what, the even years? Is that what it was
it
back
was
then?
The even years,
the even
yes.
years yeah. that they were able to get it done. So I would give the edge to Posey, but it's close.
It's
really close. I could easily be swayed, I think, to the Yachty side of things. Now, you talk about generations. Well, okay, it ends here for Posey. We got another year of Yachty. What if Sal Perez puts another 5 great years in front of him?
He's building a Hall of Fame resume is what he's doing.
But then is he considered a part of a different generation? Because he goes 5 years along. I mean, and that's kind of the arguments about best player of their generation.
Right.
What exactly does a generation...
One's 40, one's 34. How old is Sal Perez?
33?
He is... This doesn't have it.
You're not quick enough?
No. More info. Let me check. Let me click on this.
31.
So he's the baby of the trio.
And he's
building a Hall of Fame resume.
Yeah, and what he did this year has taken it to another level.
Well, he hit more home runs in the American League than anybody, maybe in all of baseball.
Yeah, he was right up there.
I think he was. Yeah. He might have been the majors home run leader. Anyways, so that's the baseball. Football tonight. Yeah. This kind of feels like a September NFL Network game only, doesn't it?
You're not pumped up for Mike White?
Well, I'm going to watch.
Well, I know you're going to watch, but yeah.
Can he do it again?
No.
Did you see the prop out there that some guy in New Jersey bet last week that Mike White would throw for more yards than any quarterback in the NFL?
I saw that. It was 125-1.
Right.
So you also have to guess this guy. It's not the only bet he made last weekend,
well,
right?
I'm guessing not.
And it's not the only bet that he's made this year.
Probably not.
If he's betting Mike White to have the most passing yards, yeah. I mean, he's
so
betting on...
So what you're saying is he got even?
Maybe. Maybe. I'm going to guess he's still behind.
Yeah.
If he's making those kind of
profits.
He was
so upside down that he needed this one to get even?
Right. How many wide receivers is he betting that you've never heard of to lead league in receiving for that week? And just, you know, those kind of prop bets. If he's doing that, I'm sure he's not alone there. I always get a chuckle out of when I see those come across my Twitter timeline. I'm like, I know this guy. He's a true degenerate.
Yeah.
If he's betting on that, it's not the only bet he made last week.
Probably not. Well, we'll see tonight. Important game. Boy, the Aaron Rodgers story just continues to take one turn after another, right?
It feels like I'm always behind. I read another article and I'm behind. And, I didn't know that part of it. I didn't know that piece of it. So what are you at right now with Rodgers and kind of the road we went down from yesterday?
I go back to your point this summer about the schism with him surrounded, and I didn't think that there would be one. Trent, they're in the driver's seat. They were in the driver's seat. What was today, Thursday? On Tuesday at this time, they were in the driver's seat to have the NFC go through Lambeau Field.
Get the only bye that you get now
Absolutely.
With the new structure.
You get one bye. On Wednesday, the news breaks that he's COVID positive. Do you feel good if you're a Green Bay fan that all of a sudden that your team with Jordan Love is going to be able to hold off an unbelievably competitive field of NFC teams that are chasing you? And instead of having, I don't know, the Rams come to Lambeau or the Cowboys come to Lambeau, all
the
of
Bucks
a sudden, or the,
again.
Yes, now all of a sudden you've got to go on the road? That's a whole different can of worms.
Maybe you're playing instead of having that bye week.
That's
all of a sudden, you got to play the Cardinals.
You're a four
or
seed.
Or the Rams.
You're the four seed instead of the one.
Whoever doesn't win that division, that's who you got to face all of a sudden in the first round of the playoffs, as opposed to being home.
You did what you needed to do last Thursday by beating the Cardinals and getting that tiebreaker. Little did we know, 5 days later, your quarterback's going to be on the sidelines.
He's going to be on the sidelines.
The leader of your football team is going to be on the sideline. My point being, if you're a player on that team and you have to, and it doesn't end out well for you, if you get knocked out because you're on the road, do you look at your leader, your team leader, any differently? Because you know, he didn't buy into the science and decided, you know what, I'll do it my way.
This offseason was weird, and mentioned what I brought up this summer a lot. I thought it was going to be impactful. Well, winning ultimately cures all ills.
Right.
I think if you played any level of sport, you played with a guy you didn't like, or you played with a guy maybe you didn't respect, but if he was a talented player and you're winning games, it's easy to
Absolutely.
Brush that aside. Go out there, and we're going to have fun, because we're winning. Now he comes the other way. Not only was he a pain in the butt all summer long, and he wasn't there, and he wasn't the quarterback that you normally anticipate. Season starts, all good. All right, here we go.
Well, not week one, it wasn't good.
But. 7 consecutive weeks afterwards, though, it was.
They have, right.
And then you go to this route, and you're having to deal with this guy again, and the headache again, and a guy maybe you don't respect again, and now you're left in this kind of lurch, and you're going to throw a guy out there that most everybody says is not even close to ready to being a quarterback at this level in Love.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there is one, I guess, silver lining, because of Rodgers holding out all summer, Jordan Love got a whole bunch of August.
He did. Right? He did. Was it great?
No, but he got at least
he got the reps.
Yeah.
He got the reps. You're right. It's something that at least bears mentioning here.
Absolutely does.
It's more than just a loss game. And who knows? Chiefs are not very good right now themselves.
True.
Very well could be a tight game, and it's 17-17 in the fourth quarter.
Now, I thought the Packers would win the football game with Aaron Rodgers. And look, this isn't me preaching to get the I wish you would get the vaccine. I'm not going to try and tell you what to do. You do what you want to do.
I don't think we're changing any minds here
today. Absolutely not, and nor are we trying. But we are saying that if you're a Packers fan, you have to look at the quarterback at the end of the season. If you don't get to where you think you're going, because he can't play against Seattle, and he can't play against Kansas City, and who knows if the league is going to drop the hammer. Will they drop the hammer on him, or just the football team? I mean, you go back, and this is not me bitching about the Broncos. It's not. But I'll use this example. Last year, Ben Gesselson, I forgot all about it, Jen, thank you. Last year, exact circumstances. The Broncos had to shut down their quarterback room. Do you remember the week? And probably you don't, because Denver was so awful that you're not paying attention to them. The Broncos couldn't play Drew Lock or Jeff Driscoll. Or who the hell was the other one? Oh, Rippon. What's his name? Brett Rippon. These guys all couldn't play, and they had to find a receiver who played a year quarterback at Wake Forest. Kendall Hinton's his name. And he made the roster this year as a receiver. But they made an example out of Denver last year by using the same protocol for the most part that's in place this year. But Aaron Rodgers is one of the faces of the league. How will they treat this? Going to be something to watch. Is there, and there normally are, right? There's two different sets of rules. Is there going to be this year? I don't know the answer. We should know here in the days, weeks ahead. Let's talk some Iowa Wild. Ben, I'm sorry we're late. We got off on a tangent. Ben Gislason from the Iowa Wild. Good to speak with you. How are you?
Great to speak with you guys this morning. Thanks for having me on. We're excited about, obviously, hockey back here in Des Moines after a trip north of the border.
Yes.
Where I know, Kenny, you're very familiar with.
So are you traveling with the team?
Oh, yeah.
So you got to my hometown. Was that the first?
I did.
Well, it's better to go in November than it is in January.
Well, that's when we're going the next time.
Oh,
so I'm
going
to get to experience that as well.
I don't envy you. I don't. So what did you think of the peg?
There's a lot to do. I mean, and
it's
not that
changed
I didn't
then.
Think that. And I've been to Winnipeg before, but it's been at least a decade for me going up there for some youth hockey tournaments back when I was a player. Meandering around out on the ice surfaces in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I went up there a few times, but never really got to see it. I was told to go eat it at a High Steakhouse, and
nice.
I did not fly it over there. I got that one circled on next trip here in January because I've heard that place is outstanding. Any other suggestions?
No, you know what? Stop right there. That's a really good one. Where do you guys stay? Do you stay at the Fairmont or where do you stay?
Yep. Okay. We were right downtown, in the heart of it, off Portage Ave.
Yeah, so you walk through the tunnels to get to the rink? Underground?
Oh, I got lost both times. So I ended up back on the street, which I know will not be an option in January when I'm there, or else I may not make it to the Canada Life Center. So I'm going to need to figure out that route next time.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's great. I'm glad. And the team split, right? You guys got a split up
they
there?
They did.
Good stuff.
And it almost felt more like a sweep with what we were dealing with, because we ended up having two guys that we had to ship out the day before we actually crossed the border that we didn't anticipate, because they were sent up to Minnesota, and then we had three other players go to Minnesota before we left for the trip. So we were actually playing without three of our top six scorers, and at one point, because we had an injury on Saturday, we were playing without seven regular guys that were in our top half of the lineup. So, I mean, it was a grind it out, find a way to win victory on Sunday, and they played extremely well despite getting outshot. Derek Faribault was terrific in goal, made 29 saves. We got a lot of contributions from some guys that were playing in elevated roles. So it was a good demonstration of this team's depth last weekend.
Back home tomorrow night, Grand Rapids in town, 6 o'clock puck drop there. And my favorite part about it, well, not just the hockey, but $2 beer night. It's got to be a big one over there Well.
It is. We love it. We're super grateful to have it, and we're super grateful that our fans love it so much, too. Yeah, $2 beers all the way through the first period. So stock up early and you have some fun on the evening, and it'll be a great evening. The Grand Rapids series has been a really entertaining one recently between those two teams, and first time these two teams will see each other this year. And we got a lot of Grand Rapids players actually that were with them in recent years playing against their old club for the first time tomorrow night.
Good stuff. How's Rossi looked? The first round pick from last year, of course, he had that big, really serious bout. We talked about that with COVID. How's he looked?
It looks like he hasn't missed a beat.
Good for him.
And unfortunately, we didn't get to see him on the home opening weekend that we had, but he's slated to play tomorrow night. So if fans that want to see him in person, it's going to be our first opportunity here in Des Moines to get that elite skater and really elite thinker. I mean, it's his brain that really jumps off the page to me. His ability to see things that most people don't see in this world on the ice surface is really what I think separates him. And if you get a chance and haven't seen it yet, he made just a spectacular saucer pass on a goal up in Winnipeg. It was flat. It landed right where it needed to land. And then it was an easy finish from there for Joseph Camarosa. But go find that highlight if you haven't watched it yet, because it was the first one, I think, of many for him where you just sit and think, wow.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. I watched it, the goalie had no chance. It was just absolutely perfect. Look, and get to see him while you can, because not knowing what the plans are up with the parent club, he's an NHL player. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about that. He's that good, and he's going to have a nice long career. So what else about the team in our final minute with you here? What surprised Coach Army so far in a positive way about his team has got out of the blocks?
You know, I think it's really been the young players. I think he's been able to rely on them a lot more than maybe he thought. And when you look at this roster from a 10,000-foot view, you see the depth, some of the additions that the Wild made in the offseason, players like Kevin Churchman, Joseph Camarosa, who is back from the Minnesota Taxi Squad. These are guys with hundreds and hundreds of professional hockey games played. And there's been a lot of help from those players, but Rossi's got 4 points in four games. When Connor Dewar was here, he's got 4 points in four games. I mean, there's a lot of younger talent that are, I think, playing a little bit beyond their years right now, which when you combo that with the depth defensively, the depth up front that this team has in some of those veteran-type players, it's a really, really fun mix to be a part of. So I would say the young players that are playing a little bit more responsibly and a little bit more dependably than I think Coach maybe thought. That would be my speculation. Then again, who knows? Tim might listen to this and come to say, hey, I don't think that. But that's one broadcaster's opinion when you put me on the spot.
Good stuff. Ben, thanks for popping on. Good luck. Puck drop tomorrow, 7 o'clock at the Well. $2 beer night through the end of the first period if you need another reason. Go catch the Iowa Wild in action in our home city, downtown Des Moines. Good stuff, Ben. Thank you.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Yep, good to talk to you. Ben Gislason, the voice of the Iowa Wild. We will head to Lincoln next. Well, first of all, we've got some business to do, and that's that $1,000 handoff. Indeed, it's time. Text the keyword. What's today, Trent? Thursday.
All day.
Text the keyword green to 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000. Green to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
Even M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal star Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Still to come this hour, Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO 106.
It's time for SIP. Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star talks with myself and Ken on Nebraska football.
I mean, I have a radio show. We have callers. I pay attention to my Twitter notifications and all that. There's definitely some frustration.
We talk Cornhuskers, and you never know what else is going to come up. With 30 years on the Nebraska beat, here's Stephen M. Sipple.
As long as they're paying me to talk, I'm just going to keep doing it.
All right, so welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. The Chicken Coop, three locations, Urbandale, Ankeny, and of course, the original in West Des Moines. The Chicken Coop sponsors our next guest. He's Stephen M. Sipple. He covers Nebraska, Ohio State this week. Huskers have lost 5 out of their last 6. I don't know what to say, Sip. It looked like the Purdue was in town, certainly a winnable football game. I think the story of the year, let me get your take on this, is just that seemingly week after week they're in these games and they have a chance to win these games and maybe should have won these games, but yet find a way to to lose. Is that the biggest story of the year so far in Nebraska football? Is the ones that have got away?
Yeah. But you correctly identified a narrative. The narrative. It's close. I mean, that's certainly what Scott Frost has said repeatedly, that we're close. You know, his contention is they just have to make winning a habit, and that they're trying to reverse, you know, a trend that he inherited. A lot of people buy into it. I'll tell you what we got here, guys. What we got here is a divided fan base. One of those, you know, we've had that before. You know, probably the Solich years, at the end of the Solich years, you know, the 2003, it was a divided fan base. Mm-hmm. Certainly with Fellini in 2014, it was a divided fan base. And it feels a lot like that. Maybe not with as much vitriol. I don't know that it's as toxic, but we got 3 weeks left, so it could still get that way.
Yeah, and it very well could as
Ohio
you look
State,
at the remaining
Wisconsin,
schedule.
Iowa.
Could go that direction. So it's year four, and there's still these excuses. There's still guys being thrown under the bus, players, by the coach. Is Scott Frost, it doesn't feel like, yeah, at times he'll give some lip service, but it just doesn't feel like there's a ton of accountability from the outside looking in to the head coach and Scott Frost. It feels like he always thinks it's somebody else's problem, not his. Is that fair?
His comments, they're often, they seem like that's the case. I don't think he's that way. I mean, I think he's accountable. I mean, I don't know that you can rise to where he's risen in his profession without being accountable. But yeah, I think some of it, Trent, and I know Scott. I know him pretty well. Covered him, you know, for those who don't know, I've been doing this for 70 years, and I covered Frost in 97, and he's from Wood River, and we kept in touch to the extent that guys can keep in touch when he's all over the country. But Scott, he was a killer competitor, very competitive, do what it takes guy, tough, kind of old school approach. And I've always wondered how well he can handle, you know, players who aren't that way. And I think my read is he struggles with that a little bit, like probably a lot of coaches do. He knows what he wants to see in players. When he doesn't see it, sometimes he just says it, you know, and I think he struggles with that. He wants, you know, guys like that want everybody to be like that. Right. But yet I think he has to understand that not everybody's like he was.
I think it's a fair point. When you get a player that excelled and was very good at that position, then he equates them to how it was when he was playing it, whatever sport that we're talking about. So here's Sip. You know, I watched the college football playoff, the first reveal show, and I see all these teams that have been on Nebraska's schedule. And if not for a play here or there, and I know it's excuses, Oklahoma 7 points, Michigan State taken to overtime. I thought Nebraska was the better team on the field that day. Early October, mm-hmm. Michigan's in Lincoln. They had them beat, and Michigan finds a way to win. So they are close, but how much longer? I mean, if they lose out, Sip, and it's not crazy to think that that could happen with Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. If it doesn't go their way, and that's eight out, what would that be? That would have been losing eight out of their last nine games. That divided fan base, it's even going to become more of a divide, or more of a divide one-sided, that it is time for a change, I would think.
I would think. Now, here's the issue. There's a lot of them, and it's a later discussion. But the one, I mean, I don't want to go too deep into it because we don't have time. But I would say that the fans, most of the fans, I would say the majority of fans, maybe even the vast majority of fans, want it to work. Okay, so that complicates it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want this to work, and they really want it to work with Frost. And now that Trev Alberts is on the scene as AD, it's really an appealing picture, right? They have the two program icons at the head of the athletic department. Look at these guys. They were wildly successful elsewhere. Yep. And they want to be here. These aren't guys that are going to, you know, Nebraska's going to have success and they're going to bolt. They want to be here. So it's very appealing to people. That's why I think a lot of people, they really struggle with it because they want it to work. Now, as far as your scenario, I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, some people will say, you know, if they win one game out of the three, maybe, you know, that would probably do it. But should it really, I mean, there's a philosophical discussion that ensues, right? Like, mm-hmm. should it come down to one win? Or yeah. if they don't win one, so if he wins one, he's fired. If he doesn't win one, he's safe. I mean, is that? I just don't know if that's the way to operate, really.
I'm with you. So we've got 30 seconds left. We were late getting to him. We apologize. Chicken Coop sponsors. Look, the one game that they did put in the win column when it comes to schools in the Big Ten was Northwestern. I was looking to get well this week, too, because they are struggling a little bit. When you saw Northwestern in person, this is not a good football team, right? It would be... It would really be a massive upset if Northwestern, I get it, Trent reminds me all the time, Fitz has got Ferentz's number a lot of years, but this is a bad Northwestern team, is it not?
Yeah, they just don't have the horses, especially on defense. They don't, it doesn't look like a Big Ten team should look. Like, if you just go down and watch warm-ups, you're sort of startled. Huh. Like, wow. I mean, it was like seeing Northwestern and then seeing Michigan back-to-back, right. it was really sort of stunning. I mean, the difference in athlete. And, yeah, that's just the way it is. Iowa shouldn't have a major problem. Even on offense, they should be able to get 28 points, I would think.
Indeed. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. Sip, I believe there's a bye week next week, right?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, there'll be a very uncomfortable bye week next week, I imagine.
And we will ask you to share what some of that those feelings when you join us a week from today. Thank you, Sip. Appreciate it, as always. Talk to you in a week. Thanks, bud.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yep, take care. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Chicken Coop, Urbandale, Ankeny, and West Des Moines sponsor Sip.
And we're going to be out at the Chicken Coop a few times here in the coming months. We'll be rotating through the locations, going to be out there a couple weeks, the day before the 5A championship game. Also going to be sponsoring our high school football coverage into basketball season and some live remotes out at the different Chicken Coops. Again, three locations. You mentioned the West Des Moines one.
Yep.
I was there talking to Dave the other day. It's in the old original Legends. That's now where it is, not the old Grand Avenue location.
Okay, so I'm glad you told me because yes. I would have gone to the wrong place. But
yeah, we don't want that.
Yes, I knew that. I saw that in the paper,
yeah,
actually.
Ashworth and 60th yep. Street, the old original Legends, if people from back in the day remember. Mm-hmm. That's where he is now, has the Ankeny location. Urbandale's been there for a number of years. The wings are always great. And, Ken, I got you your wings.
Did every you? Time you we're got doing me hooked
a,
up?
Yeah, every time we do a remote, I know you're excited about that because they do it right. They chicken do. Wings at the Chicken Coop.
Thank you, Dave, for that. All right, we will take a timeout. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports next. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
100 bets off.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Des Moines Sports Station is 106.3 KXNO. Miller and Condon with you until noon. Adam Rittenberg still to come in hour number two. If you Claxon's Barbecue, we'll do that today, not tomorrow, since we are on the road tomorrow at Wellman's. Claxon's in about 40 minutes. Right now, he's Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Another week of football is upon us. Lee, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, Lee Sterling? Oh, I got to hit the button, Lee. Sorry about that. How are you, Lee Sterling?
I'm good. I'm just trying to digest these initial rankings. I mean, things usually work out, but, you know, Cincinnati, not very happy. Nope. So they might need some help. And I was shocked the Oregon Ducks were number four.
I don't think they're very good, Lee. I really don't. No. I know they've got the most impressive non-con win maybe of the entire year going to Columbus, but boy, that seems like a long time ago if you watch that football
team.
Oh,
there's some games. I mean, you watch them. They lost to Stanford. Yeah. They only beat Cal by 7, and they allowed Colorado, which has like a
terrible,
maybe a junior college offense, to score 29 points.
Yeah, that says a lot. But before we get into the slate of games this week, obviously the news yesterday that Aaron Rodgers is not going to play. Most had him as a 7-point player, that he means 7 points to a point spread. Is that where you had him, power ranking on Aaron Rodgers, about 6.5, 7?
Well, when you do that, you also have to factor in who the backup is.
Right.
So, for instance, like Cleveland, Baker Mayfield might be worth 3 points to most teams. They have a pretty good backup in Case Keenum. So he might be worth, you know, one and a half points if they were, you know, looking at that line now in hindsight. So it just depends really on who the backup is. And but certainly I would say that Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes are worth at least 7 points.
Yeah, you just don't know about Jordan Love to do that comparison. Anyways,
we'll get to that game here in just a moment. But before that, let's talk some college football first. And what is the smelliest line of the weekend? Michigan State, fresh off the number 3 ranking and the win against Michigan. Just a 3-point favorite on the road against Purdue. Something's going on here. Lee, help us out.
Well, epic comeback last week for Michigan State. I mean, Mel Tucker was on the verge of tears in his post-game news conference. And Michigan State, though, I see some cracks here. Their defense, number 103rd overall, 127th in passing yards allowed. So they're going to face a Purdue quarterback in Aiden O'Connell, averaging 295 yards per game passing. Last four games, 72% completion percentage. Also got back their Iron Horse running back, Xander Horvath. In Big Ten action, Purdue's defense giving up just 18 points per game and 52% pass completions. Michigan State quarterback Peyton Thorne, last two games, one touchdown and four interceptions. Hold on to your hats. We're ready for another shocker. Purdue outright 27-24.
Wouldn't that be something? Cincinnati. Well, yeah. It was, you know, Cincy wouldn't like that result because the Big Ten's getting one. They have to worry about Alabama, and they have to worry about the Pac-12. Anyways, let's go to another Big Ten game. And this is another line to me that doesn't make a lot of sense. Trent likes it. I thought it should be higher. The Buckeyes on the road in Lincoln, who are in the midst of another bad year under Scott Frost. The Buckeyes are a 15-point road favorite. Anxious to get your take on this.
Okay, so if you look at numbers and you look at what Nebraska does moving the ball and stopping teams, pretty good. I mean, 16th in total offense, 27th in scoring defense. Problem is, you know, if Adrian Martinez turns the ball over four times like last week, hey, you might want to lay 25 or 30 points, but he's so up and down. You never know what you're going to get. Ohio State also has Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan the next 3 weeks here. I think the number is tempting to take the home dog here. Mm. Ohio State, I think they're going to need, you know, a turnover advantage of maybe 2+ to cover the spread. They needed a 3-1 turnover advantage last week to barely just win the game as a 19.5-point favorite against Penn State, who is totally inept on offense here. I got a final score worked out of Ohio State 42, Nebraska 32. I'm taking the 15.
Grabbing the points and going with the Huskers. Let's go to our home state teams and start in the Big Ten with Iowa. Goes on the road to take on Northwestern. Northwestern's a bad team. Iowa's a bad offense right now. And Fitz has had Ferentz's number. It's a big one, 12. What do you see with the Hawks on the road?
Northwestern lost 14 starters from last year, and they just didn't try hard enough in the transfer portal to replenish the team to make them competitive. They were actually a good team last year. They stink this year. Their defense, 14th in their own conference. They're giving up 35 points per game, 458 yards per game, 6.1 yards per carry running the football. So we know what Iowa's done on offense the last 2 weeks, giving up 10 sacks. Only rush for 100 yards in these two games on 60 carries, 1.7 yards per carry. I just think that Northwestern's coming around at the right time for the Hawkeyes here. Northwestern has no quarterback. They're also 2-4-2 as a home underdog the last eight games. So Duke and Nebraska got healthy versus the Wildcats. Why not Iowa here? Hawkeyes 31-14.
That'll make the home folks happy. Let's see if you can do it again. As Iowa State is at home this weekend, here comes Texas. Texas is a 30-minute team. They just, for whatever reason, cave in the second half of football games. Cyclones, a touchdown coming off a loss in Morgantown. Here comes the Longhorns. How do you see the Cyclones and Texas?
Okay, so the last two games between these two teams have been decided by 5 points total. Iowa State looks like linebacker Mike Rose should be back for this game. Very good run stuffer and surprisingly underrated in coverage here. Weapons galore on both offenses here. Iowa State also 9-1 as a home favorite here. of less than 7 points. But Texas, pretty strong, 14-8 against the spread record as an underdog. You know, could we see another fourth in a row Texas blown lead? I think it's possible, but I think Texas has the offense to keep it close. I think they're going to lose the game, but get the cover. Hawkeyes, 35, Longhorns, 33.
Cyclones, yeah. Yes. Going to get some angry
Cyclones,
mail if you
Cyclones.
Get that one.
Cyclones,
let's
yes.
finish it up with the game we talked about at the
yep.
top, the NFL. The Chiefs, now a 7-point favorite against the Packers.
Okay, so I'm going to play this game a little bit different here. So we've never done a two-team 6-point teaser, but I think this is the right way to play this game. So you look at Green Bay, we know they've lost Aaron Rodgers, but their defense has yet to allow a 300-yard passer and is 12-4 against the spread in the last 16 games here on the road. So I think that, you know, what we've seen is overreaction. People, what they do is they bet against the team when they lose their star player, and they paid a price. You don't see these casinos in Vegas and offshore and, crying the blues this year too often. They're cleaning up. So what we're going to do is we're going to put that game, and we're going to tease it. Take a two-team 6-point teaser. We're going to say the Kansas City will win the game, line 7, 7.5. Move it down to 1, 1.5. They pretty much just have to win the game. And we're going to pit them with Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh is laying 6 points. Move it down to a pick 'em. Pittsburgh and Kansas City, 2-team 6-point teaser.
I like it. Get Monday Night Football involved as well.
Yep.
Well, your game,
right.
Your game of the week is in the Big 12, TCU. Gary Patterson goes in to work on the game plan despite being fired the day before. He hates Baylor.
Yep.
TCU Baylor, it's your game of the week. If the folks want more information, how do they reach out to you? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so much on the line here for Baylor, who's streaking. TCU, can they rally for their coach? You want to get what hopefully is the right side? Just call 800-400-9741. We had a rare losing weekend last week and lost some really close games. Lost our big play with Maryland up 15 with 9 minutes to go. Backdoor touchdown with a minute to go ends up costing us that play. So we're going to look for a nice comeback weekend. Here's what we have. 7 selections on Sunday. That's up and available. 5 on Saturday. Just go to ParamountSports.com.
Good stuff. Thank you, Lee Sterling. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you in 7 days.
Okay. Take care.
ParamountSports.com for Lee Sterling. Michigan State goes down.
Wouldn't shock me.
You've been saying that line's stinky all week long.
That one and also his game of the week. Those are two that I targeted right away when I saw them Sunday from Circa.
We will come back, more college football with our friend Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. Klaxon's barbecue giveaway in about a half an hour. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KX.